good, clean fun, plenty of action, and a gang of unforgettable characters. The Wanderer fits the bill, with an Owensboro actor playing one of the lead roles, and scenic Southern Indiana the setting for a director's first feature film. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, my conversation with actor Steve Young and filmmaker John Cullen. We'll hear about the cast, a collection of veteran performers and newcomers, and a horse named Charlie. And actor Steve Young's versatile career, including music videos, audiobooks, feature films, and a TV commercial where he's the catheter cowboy. And what are the challenges facing filmmakers and actors during the COVID-19 pandemic? I'm David James. 2 Main Street at the Movies is next. From the WNIN Tri-State Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. A horse named Charlie, a runaway child with a pistol, a bad guy named Silas, a bald sidekick who communicates with sign language, and one unlikely hero who escapes into a world of trouble when he flees the drudgery of pioneer life. Filmmaker John Cullen takes us on this journey into the forest in his new film, The Wanderer, now available on Amazon Prime. The movie takes us back to the struggles of settlers trying to live off the land and was filmed right here in the tri-state area. One of the stars is veteran Owensboro actor Steve Young. So John Cullen and Steve Young, welcome to 2 Main Street, guys. Good to have you here. And I watched the film along with Kenton McDonald, who is recording us right now. And when it was all over, we realized it was an all-male cast. No pioneer women, no femme fatales. But is Charlie the horse a mare or a stallion?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having us on the show. It's so interesting that you pointed that out, the fact that there are no females in the film. And a lot of people have like asked me, like, so Jonathan, like, where's the love story or why are there no females? And, you know, this story was supposed to be sort of a reflection of kind of where I'm at in life. And, you know, I'm still single and I'm still like on this search journey. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how the film, at the end of it, you know, there's this whole story that progresses and we get to experience all these guys. And this absence of female presence is the reason that the world is the way it is. And the reason why all these guys are just the way they are. And at the end of the film, you have this beautiful female voice that comes in and sings this song that was written about the story. So it's kind of this like interesting experience where you experience the story of all these guys and there's this lack of female presence. And then at the very end, you have this beautiful female voice explaining the story.
Mm-hmm. So is Charlie a stallion or a mare? That's what I want to know.
Charlie is a male, and so
it was all male.
It was all
on
male
camera
cast.
Then.
Yes,
okay. Except the voice at the end. There we go.
That's
okay,
right.
Steve Young, let's find out more about you. Owensboro native, grew up there.
Yes, I did. Grew up there. Still live there. Live about 12 miles out of Owensboro, out on a farm.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you a farmer?
I grew up on a farm, still live on the family farm, corn and beans being raised, but I also have had horses, let me think now, for in excess of half of a century. And so horses have been my life, and I'm very fond of them, still have some. And so I would call it a horse farm now. I don't have cattle anymore. And so that's where I live, very close to
it. So you are a legitimate cowboy.
Pro rodeo for a few years way back when in the day, and have trail ridden thousands and thousands of miles. Was the speaker for the World Equestrian Games appointed by the governor of Kentucky back in 2010. Used to own the third largest privately owned equine facility in the state of Kentucky called Cowboys of Kentucky at one time. And so, I'm pretty ingrained in it.
You are legit, definitely. So what was your first acting gig, Steve?
First acting gig. I guess it came to be by accident. I've done voiceovers since the 80s and actually done stuff for PBS in different places. And I acquired an agent to do big time things. And the agent asked if I would be willing to do camera work. And I thought, me? Why, you know, who would want me on their camera? And so it came to be, first through music videos, I guess probably, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 years ago, auditioned for a role in a music video, a country music video, and got that, and enjoyed it, and then started getting calls from that. Then I have a friend, you might know, his name's Tim McGraw, that I was in his country music video, one video of the year, called Humble and Kind. And they cast me as the iconic cowboy, the John Wayne guy. If you see that video, that's me. And so things kind of spurned from there. And now several documentaries, films, some SAG stuff, commercials, and it just kind of comes to me. I don't really pursue it. It kind of pursues me.
Well, I saw your, I guess, your demo reel, and you had a commercial for catheters.
Oh, no.
So, runs the gamut, doesn't it?
Okay, yes. Only thing I will tell you is when you get a, you know, you get cast in something and you're on set, you don't walk off. No one told me what this was. They said it was, this is a healthcare product.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so I'm there. And while I'm there, they said, wait a minute, aren't you the guy that was in that Eli Young Band video, Even If It Breaks Your Heart? And I said, yeah. And they said, would you be willing to put on your Western stuff? And I said, okay. So they literally went out and purchased like $800 worth of Western wear, bring it back to the studio and said, now put this on and here's your script. And I'm reading the script. I don't know. And we were in the break room and somebody was complaining about something. And I said, that's kind of silly. I said, I've broken 14 bones, had 2 concussions and a punctured lung. And I said, I'm still standing here. The director stood up and said, what'd you say? And I repeated it. He said, is that true? And I said, I'm afraid it is. Look at me. And he said, can we put that in a script? I said, I guess. They rewrote the script right there. And so that commercial you're talking about has been viewed over 1 million times and even got spoofed by late night TV. You know, the catheter cowboy was spoofed by several late night TV hosts. And I thought I was going to get a call as being the real guy. But I guess I'll live that down, hopefully, with other roles that I played. But, yes, that is true.
The catheter cowboy.
You had to bring that up, David.
Well,
yeah, okay.
You know, I like that. I like that. It was a good spot. It really was. It was very sincere. It's probably sold a lot of
catheters. I don't
catheters.
Use the product, but I can get you a heck of a discount.
There you go. Okay, John Cullen, tell us about your background. You're a young man. Did you study filmmaking in school?
I did not go to college for filmmaking. I've been passionate about it basically my whole life. I actually started when I was really young doing magic shows. I was always fascinated by magic. And what I realized when I found a camera is, as twisted as it may sound, oh, here's another way I can trick and deceive people. And that's ultimately what a filmmaker is. You're a storyteller, but you're also, you know, you're trying to wow the audience. And so that's why I used to do magic. Is I used to love when they were like, how did you do that? And they would have this expression and this sensation of like, what just happened? How did that happen? And so when I found filmmaking, I sort of saw those two things very similar. And I've always loved just communicating something to an audience, telling a story, and kind of giving them something that will surprise them. So I've been making films for about 10 years, a lot of shorts. I've done all kinds of films, but I've always had the dream of one day making a feature film. And so 2 years ago, I just felt like this was the time when I needed to kind of climb this mountain that so many filmmakers look at but don't actually start climbing. And I'm just so proud of our team and everyone for making this dream happen, you know?
Now, I looked at your film credits, mm-hmm. The Hardy Boys, Dead Man's Cave, and End of the Line.
Mm-hmm.
How did those come about?
Yeah, so A.J. Newman is the guy who stars in those films and then also The Wanderer. So it's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of filmmakers, they write a story and then they go out and they find actors for the story. Well, in my case, you know, we both, he's a friend of mine, and we kind of grew up in high school doing similar activities, and we've always been really passionate about working together. And he's very, very talented, and he can do so many different roles. And so I knew, okay, I have AJ, and we both are passionate. He's very talented. And so I decided to do the Hardy Boys because his brother was also good, and we had a Nancy Drew. And so that was more like, oh, this is a story that we can do with the actors that I have. So when I started thinking about The Wanderer and, you know, or my feature and what kind of film I wanted to make, I knew whatever film that I did, AJ was going to be the star. And that kind of helped me focus in on what kind of story I wanted to tell. A lot of the actors actually in this film, I knew that I wanted to them to be a part of the story. And we sort of wrote the story to fit them and their acting style and their personality. And, you know, one reason I did that was just budget. I mean, by the industry standard, this film was considered a no-budget film. And so I didn't have endless resources. And so that's why I kind of pulled my team together and we sort of wrote the story to work with the actors that we had.
Well, I noticed in the credits, there are some other Cullens listed in the credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are those people?
Yeah. So my brother, Matthew, he's kind of the backbone of the production stuff. He's kind of been with me from the start. And he's the guy who will do anything and everything that needs done. And so, yeah, he's just always been a part of my team. And yeah, it's a lot of family and friends just kind of coming together. And I think what's really cool about that is I truly believe that that is the reason that this movie even got finished, is people weren't there for a paycheck. They were there because they were passionate about the story and they believed in this dream. And I just think that that is such a testament to like a bunch of people just coming together with one, you know, goal and cause and working hard to get it done no matter what.
So, Steve, how did you link up with John Cullen?
John found me somehow. I'm not too sure. And approached me about doing the film. And, you know, John's passion was just is very humbling. And he was determined that he wanted me for this role. And because of who this guy is the reason that I agreed to do the role. I get contacted a lot about indie films. And obviously, I'm very selective about the ones that I choose to be with or be engaged with. But because of John and the role, it did seem to fit me for some reason. I tend to always fit that guy that just crawled out of the woods. And so I agreed to do that. And my time on set was very short, and that's okay. But because of John and his passion is the reason that I decided to do this. And I'm very happy for him. I think it's a great start for him. I think that more things will come to him as time goes on because of his passion for what he does.
Now, the scenery in The Wanderer plays a big role in the film, I believe. Tell us about the locale, John.
Yeah, I really wanted this film to be this atmospheric experience, right, that like immerses the audience into this world that we haven't maybe seen before or aren't familiar with, right? And like a lot of Westerns are shot out west, and we've got, you know, the Arizona plains, and you've got the 10-gallon hats and the spurs, and, you know, once again, budget, I couldn't afford to fly my entire crew out there to go film. So it's like, all right, what do we have to work with? Well, let's use this to our advantage. And so, yeah, we just basically shot all around the Louisville, Southern Indiana area. And I was just looking for unique places that would, you know, be visually interesting, that we could kind of bring this world to life. And I think that, you know, some of the techniques that I use as far as shooting this, I was specifically focused on the scenery. It was almost like we were in this beautiful place, and the action and the film was kind of happening within that, as opposed to some other filmmakers, well, though it's more focused on, you know, maybe the specific scene and the atmosphere isn't as important. It's just sort of there. So, you know, kind of the way I went about shooting it is I didn't plan out, I didn't block or plan out I didn't have a storyboard. I didn't know where the actors were going to move within the scene. We just showed up and I saw what we had to work with, and then we kind of made them naturally move within that scenery. And I think all those little things really helped to make it feel like we've been immersed into this world and the characters are sort of reacting to what's happening in the story.
Well, you have the farmland, mm-hmm. which is somebody's carved this out of the forest, and you got the buildings and everything, and you got the plants and the crops and everything. And then you go into the forest. It's a whole different mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of sinister. When you go into that forest, you don't know what you're going to run into. And, of course, your main character experiences that ash when he mm-hmm. goes into the forest. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We're going to also talk about the cast and the premiere of The Wanderer and the sinister Silas, one of the characters in the film who's Excited does a great job. He's really kind of creepy, definitely. Also, this thieving child, Fletch, who also has a mysterious past. You all have a mysterious past in mm-hmm. in this film. And we're going to talk about the movie making in the age of COVID as well. I'm David James. We'll be right back with my guests, filmmaker John Cullen and actor Steve Young. Welcome back to Two Main Street at the Movies. My guests are filmmaker John Cullen and actor Steve Young, here to talk about the new film, The Wanderer. So, John, I'm sure it was a real plus to have a veteran actor like Steve Young on board. And Steve, tell us about how you played this character, Rank. Did you just play yourself?
Well, a little bit, yeah. It kind of was me. But Rank was a guy who obviously was removed from society. He was there trying to get away from memories, from what he perceived the world of being of just a bad place. So he was totally immersed into living from the land. And things that he had were things that were very important to him. And a few things that he took with him when he left society was a compass and other small things that he did not want to let go of. And so this character was kind of a person that gave a little direction to these young boys who show up in his camp, trying to guide them down the right path, stay out of trouble, listen to what I'm telling you. You know, he is trying to be the model that they maybe should follow. And I think that's the way John had intended this character to be. So my role in this was to be that person. Not a lot of emotion, very matter of fact, somewhat a little scary, but at the same time, deep down inside, where nobody goes, he had some emotions, some tenderness that he doesn't show very often. That's who this man was.
Rank, definitely. Now, the rest of the cast, kind of set the stage here. What's going on, John? Can you kind of tell the folks, without giving everything away, what's going on in this movie?
Yeah, so basically it starts right with this guy named Ash, and he's on this farm, and he just doesn't feel, he just feels disconnected from everything there, from his family, and he literally says in one of the lines, he says, "I'm not sure where I'm going. All I knew was I had to get away from here," and it's sort of this intangible thing that is so real life, where you just get to a place sometimes where you know that you just need to change, and this isn't where I belong. So he goes on this journey, and just like you said a minute ago, we go from this farm life to then out in these scary woods, and it's like a different world. And once again, he's not sure where he's going. He's called the Wanderer, and
yeah,
he goes
farm
out
life
on this,
is a routine. He knows what's going to happen every hour of the day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so he wants an adventure. So he goes out, not sure what he's going to find, and he stumbles across this small gang, and he doesn't really necessarily approve of what they're doing, and is just kind of like, I'm not sure about these guys, but they have something that he's never had, and that's connection and a family and a bond. And so he decides to get involved with these guys, and all these things happen, and they meet some other characters, and he kind of learns some lessons. And
the adventure begins when he meets up with this band of the gang that couldn't shoot straight, I think. Basically, they have their problems. Let's talk about the rest of the cast. This character, Silas, Cody Dedon, is it?
Dedon. Yes.
He plays the villain in the movie and does it effectively.
Yes, he does. Really interesting story if you'd like to hear about him, actually.
I'd love to.
Yeah. So I had, so you know how I mentioned that we had specific people in mind when we wrote the roles for our cast. So there was someone who we thought was going to play the role of Silas for 7 months, actually. We wrote the part for him. It was all planned out. Anyway, it ended up falling through a month before I was going to be shooting the film.
Wow.
And I was left with this... I was left with this situation where I was like, oh my goodness.
That's a huge hole.
And everyone knows a great story has a great villain.
Sure.
Everyone knows that. And then this was not just any villain. This is a very specific, very unique villain. And I was just, I was scrambling and had no idea what to do. And my resources were limited. And I thought for sure, like, this is it. This is, we can't do this film. And so, you know, one thing that's really important to me is my faith. And so I just prayed and asked the Lord to bring someone, to be a part of this project. And I was just mindlessly scrolling through Facebook and I saw a picture of Cody, and I had known about him. But we never had met in high school. And I just saw a picture of him, and I almost started crying because I was like, I think this is the guy. He had the look. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, we don't know each other, but I have this movie, and I want you to be a part of it. And I said, in a month, could you commit 2 weeks of your life to be a part of this movie? And he said, Jonathan, I can't believe it. I have been so busy this year, but literally the day before your movie starts, I am completely free. And I said, thank you, Lord. And Cody was just an absolute answer to prayer. And not only that, but I just feel like he was born to play this part. He just absolutely killed it.
What are his credentials?
Cody has, you know, we're the same age, and we're both sort of trying to get our filmmaking journey going. But he has done a lot of acting through high school. He was in a competitive league, and that's where I had known about him, because he had won all these big national titles. So I had heard about him, and he has just done a lot of acting. And what's so interesting is actually only people have seen him really do comedy. That was his thing.
Hmm.
Very animated and comedic roles. And so everyone seeing him play this villain was very like thrown off by it, because like Silas is sort of funny and animated, but he's also, there's something dark that's very, you know, evident. And so it was really interesting to kind of see this guy who's always just done comedy, and then boom, we put him in this very serious role.
His dialogue is very interesting too. He's almost becomes like Shakespearean in
yes,
a way.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we wanted Silas to have this theatrical side that comes out. And that theatrical side, actually, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. That theatrical side, a visual representation of that is his hat. You know, he looks up with his hat. He kind of owns the hat.
Mm-hmm.
He's the leader, right? But what happens through, and a little bit later in the film, he ends up losing his hat. And that's a visual representation of the theatrical leader side of Silas going away. And now we're just left with what? The dark past.
Yeah, definitely a dark side of Silas. Now, Ash is the main character,
mm-hmm.
A.J. Newman.
Yes.
You said you've worked with him before.
Yes.
Very long hair.
It's real. It's real. Yes.
I mean, that's a mane he's
it
got
is.
On there.
Well, and that's where the lion jokes come from in the film. We just decided to own it and just joke about it. So.
Well, his character is fascinating, too.
Mm-hmm.
You really never know where he's going.
Yep.
And he's a wanderer, all right,
mm-hmm.
and he's everywhere, I guess, mentally, too. He's trying to figure things out. And you never know what he's going to do next. You think you figure him out, and then he does something totally bizarre, and that just throws you off. So a really interesting character, Ash. And this young actor in the film, Roman Scott, who plays the role of Fletch. Steve, tell me about Fletch.
Well, Fletch is an interesting young man. I was very impressed with his talent. Fletch seems to grasp the role very well. He has this innocence about him, but also this mischievous part of him. And so I was very impressed with him. I got to talk with him a little on set while I was there. And his mother was there, too, and very much trying to direct him in the right way. The young man's got a future. He's really good. I think he needs to continue film work. I think he'd done some drama stuff before. It's where John knew about him.
Yep.
But I was very impressed with him and tried to encourage him that if you make a mistake, nobody knows. Just right. Let it go.
Well, he seemed very poised.
Oh, he was. Yeah, very, very poised.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And now Winston was another interesting character in the film, and that's the one who speaks with sign language. Mm-hmm. And tell me about, who played Winston?
Luke Boger played Winston. And yeah, once again, we wanted all these characters to be very unique and have something different about them. And Winston is sort of the heart of the gang. And so we wanted him to have this unique feature that connected him to the audience. And so Luke actually does sign language. That's what he's passionate about. He's not an actor, actually. I saw him in a couple of projects that my friend had done, and I was like, oh my gosh, like he could actually do this. And so I think that was really cool. So a lot of the sign language was actually inspired by him being passionate about sign language. So a lot of the signing that he does in the film is like actually accurate to American Sign Language.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have other... Steve Young, you're not the only grizzly actor in the film. There's a couple of guys. The guy who plays the banker in the film.
Yeah, we call him Pappy.
Yeah. Tell me about Pappy.
Pappy, I'm not sure how old he is, but all I know is when we got there and we were talking to him, he's apparently had over 100 strokes. So that man cannot be taken down. And we were up till like 4 in the morning filming that. And I don't know how he got through, but it was quite the experience for sure.
Now, there's some violence in the film, but no profanity, no gratuitous sex. It's certainly a family film. Would you agree, Steve?
Absolutely, and I think for that reason, it's going to appeal for all different types of people to watch it with their children. And I complimented John on that. That's not always the case in some of the films that I have been around. So it's refreshing, and it would have served no purpose at all, other than your children. You wouldn't want to have heard that word or seen that thing. So I think it was well done.
Yeah. Now I know you're in a movie. I saw The Christmas Manger.
Correct.
And you are a curmudgeon in that. I think.
I'm sorry, the trailer. I'm what?
You're a curmudgeon. Kind of a rough kind of character and everything.
Okay, get out of my thesaurus here.
Okay. And then you work with these children, and they kind of change your life in that film.
Yeah, I played a similar kind of role, although I didn't crawl out of the woods. I was a rancher. I was the lead in that, and it's a pure flex film, SAG film. And it was something that I really, really enjoyed. But I was kind of a mentor to grandchildren that I didn't even know that I had. And so that's got a lot of funny stuff in it. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's no bad words. There's
well, that's
no
a family
like
film,
that.
Definitely.
Obviously, since it is a Pure Flix film, which is a Christian faith-based organization out of California. I was very pleased to have been part of that because of, again, the audience that it appealed to. And I think that's important, that we don't always have to have those dark things in a film for it to be well received and appreciated. Mm-hmm.
John, tell us about your philosophy in filmmaking.
Yeah. Steve said it, and I wanted this to appeal to a wide audience. Another thing is just, you don't see a lot of clean Westerns, and so I was just excited about not only taking the audience to like this different world, right, but giving them something that's a little different and the content's a little different and something that, the whole family can enjoy. And I've always been really passionate about just young kids who want to tell stories and want to act. And I wanted to give them something that they could watch too. And like I said too, more than just the audience, I just believe in good, holy art, and I see an industry that is just very dark, and there's just a lot of like evil and just not good things happening. And so I just want to just come in with like a fresh, encouraging story that's going to challenge people. And doesn't mean that it's not going to get a little gritty or a little dark, but I think that like you said, I don't think the film needs a bunch of language or prostitutes, and it wouldn't add anything to the story.
No. I know, Steve, we're in this generation where we used to be able to watch films with our parents and loved ones and not be embarrassed and everything. And there was action, there was adventure, there was romance. But now it's tough to find movies like that.
It is, but I you're probably a lot older than I am, David. But
oh, well,
anyway,
thank you.
I'm just kidding. exactly. You know, one of my favorite shows was Walt Disney and even Lost in Space and stuff, and things that were popular during the 60s and 70s. None of that stuff was there. Now I realize censorship has changed, but you don't have to have that to have good television or good films. If that's what you have to have, you know, you can go watch that somewhere else. But I applaud filmmakers and directors who are looking for theatrical excellence, not shock value.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, okay, we mentioned Charlie at the top of this interview, and Charlie was a cast member. Ash's horse played a pretty good role in the film, and he had his own wrangler. Is that right, John?
Yeah, so Ron is the wrangler, and he owns Charlie, and he actually is a very key piece in making this film happen because he really helped us as far as like on location, kind of getting what we needed there. Because, you know, what people don't realize is they just like see a horse and they're like, oh, there's a horse. You can't just take a horse wherever you want and go wherever you want. So we had to be in areas where, you know, you could have a horse, and to keep the horse safe and to take care of him. We were shooting all night, having him out there all night. So he was very key in kind of helping us with the logistics also in shooting with Charlie. Yeah.
And Charlie seemed to get along with everybody, right? You're a horse man. You know that.
Charlie was, as we call it, I guess, a deadhead. I mean, he wasn't going to go anywhere. Very settled, especially with all the lighting and people going around him. And so, yeah, they picked they cast the perfect horse for the role.
It's funny you say that, though, because AJ and Charlie were great friends at the start of the project. Let me tell you what, by the end of that, that horse would not look at that man. He was tired of
Ash?
Yes, he was tired of him.
Well, that's interesting. So it was time to say, okay, cut. All right. Okay. Now, coming up on 2 Main Street, we're going to talk about some of the crew behind the camera, the logistics of filmmaking in Southern Indiana, the movie industry in COVID-19, the original music of The Wanderer, and what's next for director John Cullen and actor Steve Young. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and if you are just joining us, my guests are director John Cullen and veteran actor Steve Young, here to talk about John's first feature film, The Wanderer. Now, fortunately, you were able to make this film before all the COVID-19 restrictions. Mm-hmm. Thankfully. So what's life been like for a filmmaker and an actor during this pandemic, guys? Has it cut into your gigs?
Yeah. I've turned down a lot of things I didn't feel safe with.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a feature film I was slated to be in New Mexico that was canceled. Big budget SAG film. I hope that it maybe pick up next year. Don't know. I was on a film shoot in Pigeon Forge just recently for a very large commercial, and they were very careful on set. Everything was all separated. All the actors wore masks. So the COVID issue has definitely affected filming of all sorts, whether it's a music video, it's a commercial, it's a feature film, whatever it is. And I have a friend in Louisville who's an actor who has COVID. Last time that I communicated with him, I think he knew of 15 people with COVID. And where did he get it? On set, on a shoot. And so we're all being very careful. And so we just have to be conscious of being safe, wearing masks, social distancing. And there's a lot of filmmakers who are hesitant to even go there now. Some are trying it, but with a lot of restrictions, depending upon the state. Depending upon the COVID situation where they are at the time, because these rules and laws are changing constantly with the COVID issue.
And, of course, a lot of the theaters haven't reopened, and that's a big problem right now, too. Of course, you can get your film on demand, and I'm sure there's a need for escapism right now. So you have a film that's, I guess, fit for this pandemic in a way. People can watch at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's available on Amazon Prime. And it's just, you know, it's really cool that Amazon has recently opened their platform up to independent filmmakers. And it's a great time because there's just, there's so much. The film industry has just been, like every industry, put on hold. And it's just a great platform for all these independent filmmakers like me to get their work out there for people to see and enjoy. Because, if my goal was get this movie in theaters, no one could go see it. So just the digital platform now that we have with Amazon's really, really powerful tool.
Now tell me about the crew, John. How did you assemble these people to do all of this?
So our crew was very small. It basically consisted of me and the screenwriter, and then my brother, and then we had a makeup artist, and then a couple other just production assistants. That was very challenging at times, but also, the environment and kind of the speed that we had to work, once again, because of budget, we couldn't have a whole lot of extra people because, we're out in the woods. I mean, I think even Steve remembers when we were filming, we didn't even have cell service out where, we had to communicate with walkie-talkies. So it was just a very difficult environment to shoot in. So we just didn't have that big of a crew. I think, once again, it's really a testament to the hard work of everyone. The actors, it was not like on Hollywood where they're just sitting in a comfortable, air-conditioned place sipping on, right? Like my actors were moving, logs and cleaning up leaves, and it was all hands on deck. And once again, that's just incredible how passionate everyone was and just willing to work hard to make this film happen. So a lot of the actors were the crew as well.
Did the weather cooperate during the shoot?
I got rained on a lot. In fact, I remember walking up about a 100-yard hill, almost straight up, carrying something and pouring down
rain.
See,
there you go. I made Steve carry the most, by the way.
I was a mule, by the way. But the weather was, I'm sure certain shoot dates that he had were better than others, but that's part of shooting outside. You know, you're not in the studio, you're out in the elements.
Yeah.
Sometimes that adds to it. You can't make fake rain. Mm-hmm. Although I've actually been shot using fake rain one time in a video, but there was no fake weather going on out there. It was what it was.
And also, people are curious about bloopers during a film. Did you have any moments that just everybody kind of broke up or?
Yes, and no one is allowed to see them but me. My goal as a director is to create a very comfortable environment where people have the freedom to experiment. And I would say that a lot of the beautiful moments in this film were because they had that freedom. I am not the guy that will lay out, okay, ABC in the script, we're following the script. Sometimes I don't even look at the script. I just really want people to have that freedom to innovate and to try things. And so, we got a lot of really special, fun moments in the film. But there were also, yes, okay, guys, that was I appreciate the effort, but we're gonna pull it back a little bit, some of those moments. Like an example, the scene where Fletch and Ash are sitting and throwing rocks in the water.
Sure.
That was not in the script for them to be actually throwing rocks. They were just gonna be sitting and talking. But I looked over and I was like, hey, are you guys rehearsing? And they were like, no, we're just talking. And they were just kind of talking and throwing rocks. And I said, that's what we're going to do. And I think just being aware of what's going on and not looking down at your paper the whole time, but really watching what's going on and how people are interacting and how the world is affecting the story. I think that's really important for the way that this film turned out. It has that feel because a lot of the things that you see did happen.
Well, I love that scene, too, because you hear the plop of the rocks hitting the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, here comes another one. And everybody can relate to that, throwing rocks into a lake or a river or something like that. It was very effective. And now the premiere. Tell me about the premiere of the movie The Wanderer.
So that was a very stressful time just from the standpoint of trying to keep everyone safe, and I was going back and forth on whether I should, you know, move forward with having the premiere or just release it online. The film was actually supposed to come out in the spring, but you know, we had to push it back, and it gave me more time to edit and really get the final product where I wanted it to be. But we spent a lot of time planning out to make sure everyone was safe. You know, we brought people in. And groups and sat them down, and we had everyone spread out. And the guy that let us use his theater.
This is in Corydon.
In Corydon, yeah. And yeah, his name's Chris, and he's the owner, and he's very passionate about helping the community out. And so since he had no movies playing, we had his entire theater. So we had our film playing at once in like 7 different theaters. And yeah, he was just very gracious to let us come in and to make that happen. And just small theaters are struggling. A lot of them are closing down. I heard Regal is apparently shutting all their theaters down. So yeah, it was kind of an attempt to just kind of help the community and help theaters just stay alive during this time.
Of course, the film was shot near Corydon.
Correct.
Too. So
mm-hmm.
This was a kind of a community event.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people came just because they heard about, oh my gosh, a film was shot in mm-hmm. my backyard. That's really neat. I want to go check that out.
So tell me about the music in the film.
Mm-hmm.
John.
Yeah. So we pulled from a lot of different resources, once again, because of budget. So I pulled, there's all kinds of resources out there where all these artists are composing tracks. So we went through thousands of tracks, it felt like, finding different music. A couple of the tracks I had composed for someone because I wanted something very specific. But yeah, it managed to still feel like the whole thing was composed by one artist. And that's sort of, I guess, kind of the story of a lot of different elements of this film is like I was sort of trying to like piece together all these things and make them feel unified. The thing I'm most just proud of is Jody, who wrote the end
Jody
credits.
Ann?
Yes, yeah, she wrote the end credit song, and that was basically just kind of like our thumbprint on the film. You know, we had all this music that was a little bit more generic or, you know, just cinematic, but we just told her the story, and she just wrote that song and how it related to her. And I just think that song is not only musically so beautiful, but also just the lyrics capture the story, I think, so well. So she did a great job on that.
So what's next for actor Steve Young from outside Owensboro, Kentucky, Davis County?
Well, you know, every week's a new possibility. In fact, I just signed a non-disclosure agreement yesterday for a project I've got to do in Atlanta. I can't talk about, obviously. Then I had just completed a big-time commercial for a major water park down in Pigeon Forge. Just did recently a non-alcoholic bourbon commercial for a new distillery in Louisville.
I don't understand that. A non-alcoholic...
Yeah.
Bourbon?
Spiritless. Look it up. Yeah, you'll see a video of it. But anyway, there's always opportunities. Again, I'm very selective of depending upon where it is, if it's a SAG feature or not. That has to do with compensation and things that they have to comply with and the investment of time on my end. I turn down a lot of stuff. You know, I get a lot of opportunities for horror films and stuff. I don't want to do that, mm-hmm. you know. And so I'm blessed to have the opportunities I've had. Lord's been good to me, and things will continue to come. I'll continue to be selective and do something I wish to be proud of.
And this funds your passion for horses, I assume.
Well, it's kind of like a boat.
Horses are expensive.
It's a hole in the ground you pour water in. You don't make money on the horse industry unless you're in the racing or something, I guess. But I make a little bit of money. It's not how I make a living. I actually own a business. This is a sidebar. It's a passion. And again, it's as things come to me, I weigh them depending upon, is this a role that I wish to portray? Is this who I wish to be known for?
Mm-hmm.
And make my decision from that. And so there's a lot of stuff I turned down that my agents, and I have 3 of them, don't like about it. But guess what? It's my life.
And John, what about you? What's next for John Cullen, filmmaker?
Well, at the start of this, I mentioned that the film reflects where I'm at in my life. And I'm on this journey of searching and trying to figure things out. And I would say that that's true for where I'm at in my filmmaking career. I'm not sure what's next. All I know is I want to work hard and I'm passionate about stories. And so, I feel like in the film industry, I'm kind of the wanderer, still trying to find my place and figure things out. And, you know, I believe that another story will come to me if it's supposed to. And if that happens, then I'll work hard and accomplish that. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't have a specific plan. I used to, but I've tried to just kind of let that go and just kind of see where the roller coaster takes me. And I think that's okay. And hopefully that's encouraging to some other artist out there who is just passionate and they're working hard, but they don't really know where it's going to stick or where they're going to end up. I think that's okay.
Now, John Cullen and Steve Young, I really enjoyed watching The Wanderer, and I wanted to read a review from a parent who highly recommends this film. She writes, "As a parent of four, three of them being boys, ages 16, 14, and 11, I really appreciate the good morals portrayed in the film and the redemptive storyline. The Wanderer is good, clean fun. The boys enjoyed the action and suspense. I enjoyed the cinematography and the sound." Well, that was a pretty good review, and it's a film for the entire family. It's available on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can watch the film with the entire family and enjoy it. So I think after watching the film, I think our listeners will definitely want to see more from director John Cullen and the cast of The Wanderer. And, of course, we're going to follow the career of actor Steve Young. Gentlemen, thank you for being my guests on 2 Main Street.
Thank you so much for having us.
And this footnote, actor Steve Young's catheter commercial seems to follow him through his career. In one of the breaks in our conversation, Steve Young shared this story.
I'm on a film set, feature film set, in Mammoth Cave 2 years ago with actors that have been doing this for, 50, 60, 80 films to their credit. Somebody pulls up that catheter commercial. I am kitted to no end.
Oh.
And to the point where, I was like, okay, guys, that's enough. So one of the guys actually does a parody and films it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my
God.
But
they were like, this guy comes up, his name's Randy Wayne. He's been in the industry forever, done over 150 films. He's out of Oklahoma. He said, none of us have ever been seen a million times.
See? There you go.
And so, anyway, but I hope that my claim to fame on my tombstone isn't, he has a catheter. But I was the lead in this film, and with some mm-hmm. people you may know. But anyway, it was, that thing is something that I have tried to kind of push aside, but it seems to always come back.
It always follows you.
I get a call from a lady in LaGuardia. She said, walking to the airport, I hear your voice. And she said, finally, I found you on TV. I get a call from a guy that's in LAX. I'm walking through the airport. He says, I know it's you. I can't find you. And I look up, and there you are. So people in airports are recognizing my voice from walking through airports. It's crazy.
It is very, he does have a very unique voice.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's liquid gold, I think. Somebody described that. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Three. Okay. If you haven't seen the catheter commercial in a while and don't remember the distinctive cadence of Owensboro actor Steve Young, here's the sales pitch now from the Catheter Cowboy.
Attention, catheter patients on Medicare. I'm a professional cowboy, and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years. I've broken 14 bones, had 2 concussions and a punctured lung. I know pain. And I don't want any more of it, especially when I cath. Now, I use these new nearly painless catheters from Medical Direct Club. They hurt less compared to the old ones. These ain't nothing. Here's how it works. You call and you get a free catheter sample. I was just like you, wondering if I should call. Boy, I'm glad I did. Give yourself a break from pain and try these new catheters. You won't know unless you try them. Give them a call now. You have nothing to worry about. They bill Medicare and your insurance company. You pay nothing up front. You get your free, nearly painless catheter sample sent right to your home.
Owensboro actor Steve Young, a great voiceover talent, in a commercial that will ride with him into the sunset. But let's not forget Steve Young's acting career on the big screen. Before The Wanderer, he was the lead actor in the 2018 film Christmas Manger, also available on Amazon. It's been reviewed as a great family film for the holidays. It's the story of a rancher grieving the loss of his wife when a foster child he hasn't seen in years appears with her children needing a place to stay. The kids soften him up and convince the rancher to build a manger and then create a miniature Bethlehem, something his late wife would have loved. Versatile actor Steve Young told me he's also completed several audiobooks, including a lengthy project reading the King James Bible, often playing the role of God. I enjoyed my time with Steve Young, comfortable acting on the big screen, in commercials, or voicing a favorite book, and still a cowboy at heart, often in the saddle at his horse ranch outside Owensboro. And for a good family film, I recommend The Wanderer, the first feature film from director John Cullen. Former news anchor, current TV Lifestyles host, and pastor Angie Humphrey is my guest next week on 2 Main Street. She and others left a traditional church to start a new, more inclusive congregation, Fresh Air in Evansville.
Many of us left that church and it was really kind of done with organized religion in general. But this group of people said, we want to stay together and we want to be the congregation that welcomes everyone. And I said, well, that's the only way I'm going to be a part of it. And I said, and the other thing we're not going to do is we're not going to meet on Sunday. We're going to meet on Thursday night. So you can have your Sabbath, you know, be with your family. It's supposed to be a day of rest, so have a day of rest. Mm-hmm. And that they agreed to that. And we've been together 8 years, and it has been an interesting journey. The faces have changed. The characters have changed. The church has changed. But we are one of the few open, welcoming, and affirming communities. And that means that if you are, whatever your sexual orientation or whatever your past is, you're welcome and you are a member. You are one of us. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to believe anything that in order to fit in. You will fit in. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whoever you love, mm-hmm. you are welcome.
Angie Humphrey on the next 2 Main Street, right here on WNIN-FM, your public-supported radio station in the Tri-State.